Global Perspectives, a podcast series in the service of democracy, peace, and development around the world. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode on France's post-pandemic recovery strategy and what that means in the European context. My name is Anja Richter, and it is my pleasure to be your host. My guest for today's discussion is Dr. Philipp Siegert, the Hans Seidel Foundation's representative in Paris, who's of course been following the French response to the pandemic on the ground for the past year. Welcome to our Global Perspectives podcast, Philipp.
Thank you very much, Anja.
It has been a year now since the COVID-19 pandemic hit Europe and turned everything we seem to consider normal upside down. States around the world went into crisis mode and experienced a considerable economic downturn, even if some countries suffered more than others. In order to mitigate the economic impact of the crisis, many governments introduced costly measures to keep the economy afloat and to safeguard jobs. Public spending and borrowing reached levels we have rarely, if ever, seen in peacetime. The pandemic also uncovered strategic weaknesses in the economic structure of several countries, particularly in France, where this quickly became a fiercely debated topic last year. The plans for the post-pandemic economic recovery put forward by the French government, but also by the EU Commission, include measures to not only make the economy grow again, but to make it more resilient and to strengthen its autonomy, aiming to reduce the dependency on global supplies for key manufactured goods, such as medical masks or ventilators. But before we dive into assessing the post-pandemic strategy, let's start with the basics and look at the economic impact the pandemic has had in France. Philipp, just explain a little bit how badly France has been hit by the pandemic in economic terms and what measures the French government has taken to mitigate the effects so far.
Well, France has had a pretty rough year 2020. It had two lockdowns and was one of the probably worst hit countries in Europe. The first lockdown was from mid-March till mid-May, and that was a very strict lockdown. You had only the possibility to leave your home for 1 hour a day. So the economic activity was mostly shut down, actually. So that was had a very strong impact on the economy, which still lasts. Then we had a second lockdown from the end of October until mid-December, which was less strict, but still reduced economic activity. So as a result, the numbers that just came out in February by the INSEE, the French Statistical Office, indicate a GDP recession of 8.3%, which is considerable. It still is less than the 11% that were expected at some point last year. So a considerable downturn, but it was not as bad as the economy ministry, for example, feared. Still, there is an unemployment of 8%, which is the official number, but there is probably a dark figure also to add to that. And more than 2 million people have been, or still are actually now, in part-time work. So they have reduced income, which means that there is an economic downturn also for the employment, for the employed people, which is considerable, and probably a fourth of the French households is now poorer than it was at the beginning of 2020. And just one brief reminder, when the crisis hit in France, the country already had two turbulent years before that. There were the Gilets Jaunes in 2018, and there was the strike against the pension fund reform in 2019, and then the pandemic hit in 2020. So it's not just last year that was somewhat rough, but even the time before was not economically very brilliant.
And what measures has the French government taken to mitigate these effects so far?
Well, the first thing the government did was to decide a package of 300 billion euros to guarantee debt that enterprises would contract with their banks. There were additional measures. So the total for last year is 460 billion that the French government actually put on the table. So the 300 or state-backed debts, there were 60 billion for sector-specific programs, for example, for aviation industry. And there now is an additional 100 billion, or since last summer, there's 100 billion for the so-called plan de relance, which is the French recovery plan. the major change that was introduced in last spring was this, the new regulation for part-time work, which was similar to the one that is in place in Germany, or that has been put in place in Germany already before the crisis, and has been applied especially in 2008-09 and following that crisis. And obviously most people, at least those who could, were sent home and had to work from home in the so-called télétravail, which is the French word for home office.
So drastic and sort of big spending measures, but in your view, how effective have these measures been? You've mentioned that there's been an economic downturn for the people who have a reduced income, who are unemployed. Have these measures been enough for people facing economic hardship?
Well, it's hard to say whether they have been enough. I think it's one can certainly say that they have had a positive effect, or at least they have diminished the negative effect of the crisis. Like I said, the economy ministry thought that there would be a GDP recession of 11% of GDP. It was a bit more than 8. That still is bad, but could have been worse. And even if the number of unemployed people rose, it would certainly have been worse without the part-time work, which means that the employers pay not the entire salary, and the part of the salary for the part-time workers comes from the state. So it is public money that is being spent for that. And the even if there is now certainly more poverty than there is before, there are also more savings than there were before. Last year, the French households saved over 70 billion euros, meaning that there is not just the income reduction, but there is also an increase in savings. So I think it would have been certainly worse without the measures by the government. Now, the question is, of course, how to pay for that in the future for the state budget deficit, especially.
So moving forward, what is the French government's plan for the economic recovery post-pandemic? And how does the government think it will pay off those debts you've mentioned?
Well, the main tool is the plan de relance, which was devised last spring and summer, and it essentially has three parts to it. One is for the greening of the economy, that is sort of a total of 100 billion euros of this plan de relance. 30 billion are for that, 35 billion are for competitivity and innovation, which means also relocating industries, which is an important strategic part of that plan. And then there is another 35 billion for social and territorial cohesion. So these are the three major parts of this plan de relance, which has started in 2020 and will continue at least until 2022. That is the current plan. So that is the equivalent, if you put all together with the 460 billion that I mentioned earlier, that's the equivalent of 25% of French GDP over 3 years, 2020 to 2022. Germany, by the way, that's the equivalent for 40% of GDP that the measures mean. So briefly, what does this plan de relance include? So the greener economy means essentially a carbon dioxide reduction, so the carbon footprint, and the aim, of course, is to have the net zero by 2050. There's the aim to strengthen R&D and the research in hydrogen energy. One important part is the thermal insulation of buildings. For those of you who have been to Paris and remember the beautiful Haussmann buildings who are still standing, those obviously are not very well insulated. So there's a lot of renovation, but also in other French cities. That is an important part. And secondly, for the competitivity and innovation, and there I'll go especially to the relocating part, that is true especially for research and development activities. Again, hydrogen is not the only example there. Production capacity is to be increased in France, which does not necessarily mean production capacity. So if such a crisis should hit again, it would be possible to manufacture the goods. The plants would be there to manufacture the goods if it would be necessary, and particularly, of course, for vital and medical goods. So, for example, France intends to relocate the production of paracetamol medicament. Then also, obviously, high-tech sectors are addressed by this part of the plan de relance. microelectronics is particularly important in that regard, but also specialized manufacturing, as for example in textiles. The French fashion industry is still big, very big even, and textiles are therefore they're very important. And then thirdly, the social and territorial cohesion that is essentially geared, mostly geared at helping people to find employment, to get training opportunities, and is also aimed at providing France with a better digital infrastructure outside of the big cities. So this plan de relance is really the main tool for the recovery that France aims to find.
Of course, we live in a globalized and interconnected, if not interdependent, world, especially when it comes to economic and trade relations. And you've just mentioned some of the key sectors France intends to onshore and bring production to France. But as the second biggest economy, not only in the European Union, but also in the Eurozone, France's economic strategy cannot be viewed in isolation, of course, in a European context. Whether it is the EU Recovery Fund or national government strategies, including Germany, they're all geared towards achieving economic recovery and resilience. But these two terms sometimes seem to be interpreted quite differently. Where do you see similarities, and where does the French government's approach to recovery and resilience differ from the EU strategy or from its big neighbor Germany?
Well, the recovery strategy is fairly similar in several respects to that of Germany. One difference is perhaps that the French recovery, the strategy of the plan de relance, is somewhat more geared towards the supply side, so to the employer and enterprises, whereas in Germany, for example, with the reduction of the VAT, the value added tax, there are more instruments that are supposed to benefit the demand side, so the employee or the consumer. But in essence, there are certainly more parallels, and there has been a joint Franco-German initiative which has contributed to the devising of the EU plans, the next generation EU, which is of course not just this Franco-German initiative, but there has been a strong consultation between the two countries to put forward a common proposal. And one thing that has obviously been picked up very early, debated very early by the press and politicians and the public, was the idea of issuing common debt for the EU. For the resilience, I have the impression that the French government is particularly attentive to what Macron has already said before the crisis hits, this idea of strategic autonomy. Onshoring, as you pointed out, is part of that. But the idea of onshoring, or at least of some sort of better, stronger economic autonomy, is not a result of this crisis, at least in French politics. It has been strengthened by the current crisis. It has become almost dominant. I would say it's this and the sustainability aspect, which are the two dominant ones in the French strategy. This is perhaps to some extent the difference between the German and the French approach, this very strong commitment, if you will, to strategic autonomy. And we have seen already since 2017 that Macron and his government have pushed also on the European level for more strategic autonomy. And that obviously is going to continue.
I'd like to pick up that point on sustainability. And you've already previously mentioned that part of the French strategy is the green recovery, which has also been part of other European and Western governments' post-pandemic strategy. So giving the recovery an environmental dimension, and in some cases, making sustainability a condition for any government funding. So I'd just like to push you a bit on the role that sustainability has in the French plan de relance. How does the French government want to reconcile economic recovery and growth with reduced emissions and sustainability, apart from or beyond going insulating Paris's windows and houses?
Yes. Well, the sustainability is actually not just a part of the what is called the sustainability part of the plan de relance. So like I said, it's the three parts: sustainability, innovation, and social cohesion. And actually you find measures for sustainable, eco-friendly economy in all three of these parts. for the sustainability chapter, that's obvious. Green energy plays a very important role over there, but also the modernization of transport infrastructure and the idea to get more of the goods off the road and on the rails. And the innovation and relocation part, there is a component of some 11 billion euros, which is for the Programme d'Investissement d'Avenir, investment in future program. And this one is also it's also aimed at sustainable development, particularly in enterprise practices and in industry investment, so the modernization of industrial processes. And thirdly, in this chapter of territorial and social cohesion, there are also several billions, somewhat more than 4 billion, that are intended for investments that are made by regional and local authorities within the region or within the local area community. So there is an idea that the French government seems to follow stronger now than it did before, which is that of circular economy. And that is something that could allow, or at least hopefully might allow, to have both growth and environmental protection by having an economy which is a bit organized around the principle small is beautiful. And you have more this the circular idea in local economies.
Part of this green agenda is, of course, the need to increase research and development spending to develop new technologies, especially in the energy sector. Given the large scale of such projects and the enormous investments and spending required, no country can do this alone. Where do you think France sees most potential for transnational cooperation, or in which sectors do you think France is looking for partners?
These sectors are very often either green economy, for example, hydrogen, R&D in hydrogen energy, or are strategically important, for example, microelectronics. And those are the two main fields, I think, where transnational cooperation is not just wanted, but actively promoted and pushed by the French government. And that is certainly true for the IPCEI, so the Important Projects of Common European Interest. The battery project, for example, is one that has already been put in place and is up and running. France is a part of that. There are 7 European states in total, but there's the now, probably this year, the one for research and development in green hydrogen. That is a major aim for the French government. Obviously, not only the French one, but they are going to put forward 7 billion euros just for that. And there are now the tenders for potential project partners for two other IPCEIs, one in microelectronics. So that is for the strategic autonomy, very important. And the other one, which has been launched just a few days ago, for health innovations. So those are transnational projects with French contribution, where the French are pushing for their realization.
What role do domestic politics play in the recovery plan? The Gilets Jaunes, or Yellow Vests, which we've already briefly mentioned, originally started when President Macron announced higher taxes on diesel and fossil fuels in general. Mm-hmm. Last year, commentators described a green wave hitting France when the Green Party secured victories in several major cities. And with presidential elections coming up next spring, how will President Macron make sure his government's recovery plan takes those different political movements into account?
Well, the main aim of the recovery plan, to put it somewhat bluntly, is to avoid poverty. There is the Office for Poverty Observation in France estimates that there are around 6.5 million people living in poverty. That is roughly 10% of the French population. Obviously, COVID has a part in that, but the structural problems are far older than just the pandemic. So there is indeed a problem, and the Gilets Jaunes were one product of that poverty. But with this diesel tax that indeed started, there was the spark that started the Gilets Jaunes. But about a year before that, Macron and his government another wealth tax. So the problem, in my opinion, is not so much that there was a slightly higher tax on diesel, even though it actually did impact the life of those workers who have a very low salary, but need to drive in their car to go from their living places to their working places. But the idea that if the super rich are getting tax cuts and the mostly the poorer part of the population gets a higher tax burden, even if it's only 2 or 3 cents. This is the idea of injustice that brought the Gilets Jaunes to the streets. And indeed, the Gilets Jaunes were not just the poor, let's say, disenfranchised people who were on the streets. The amplitude of the protests was also due to the fact that this perception of injustice was there not only within the poorer part of the population. So the Plan de Relance certainly aims at reducing poverty. And as far as the green wave goes for the elections in cities in March, I think this is unlikely to be repeated in 2022 for two reasons. The first is that the voting logic on the communal and regional level is different than at the national level. And the second reason is that we had a very, very low voter turnout in March. The elections were held right before the lockdown came. Well, there was a second round of elections. They had to wait until June to actually be able to have those. So voter turnout was very low. And apparently the Green, the EELV, were better able to mobilize their electorates than other parties were. So I think it's unlikely to repeat itself on the national level for the presidential elections of 2022. Nonetheless, the government is also going to be judged, and the Plan de Relance is also going to be judged on its green aspect and on the question whether it really did do, or to what extent it actually aims to really green the economy. So there is a large part of the population, even if it doesn't vote for the LV, for the Greens, that takes sustainability more and more into account, and it is going to continue to play an important role overall in politics for Macron and for others.
Well, I'm afraid we are nearing the end of today's episode, but I'm sure we will speak to you again, Philip, when the political arena heats up closer to the presidential elections in France next spring. Thank you very much for sharing your insights on France's strategy for a post-pandemic recovery. Merci beaucoup. And all the best to you in Paris.
Thank you. My pleasure. And all the best to you.
This leaves me to thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please do share it with friends and family and subscribe to the series on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, or Amazon Music. My name is Anja Richter, and I'll speak to you soon. Until then, take care and bye-bye.
Global Perspectives, a podcast by the Hans Seidel Foundation.